Okay, so, when I was a kid, there were lots of cartoons that I never watched as a kid. Like, there were so many people were like telling me about, like, oh, did you watch like thing Powerpuff Girls? Like, I'd watch a couple episodes when it was on, but like it was Portuguese television, so like it would be like on every now and then. Like, I used to watch Dragon Ball Z in Portuguese, which was really, really cool. I've actually also recently gotten into Dragon Ball Z again because I'm a nerd, but it's I don't know, it's pretty fun. But like, when I was a kid, I watched, like, I actually much prefer watching like Blue Planet, like with David Attenborough, and like Walking with Dinosaurs was another one that I really, really liked. It was this one where they like CGI'd in like all these like dinosaurs, and they did it like a nature documentary, where you actually got to see like the current theories for like how the dinosaurs like interact and like how they live their lives. And it was like a full nature documentary done as if like they were actually dinosaurs there. Like, when I was a kid, that fascinated me so much. Like I used to have this actual thing where like I thought, I was like, how did they get cameras to go back in time? I was like, how did they get cameras back then? How do they have this footage? Because like as a kid, like I saw the CGI and I thought that was real. I was like I couldn't tell the difference between that, because like they actually did pretty well. Like the CGI holds up pretty well, because they'd use practical effects as well, so, like mixed in. So I think that probably helped. But it was to me that was so much more interesting. Like stuff like Blue Planet, like I could almost like. Even now, I could probably like tell you so much. Like, I could tell you probably a breakdown of almost like every different episode, just because I was so like when I was a kid. Like, that was so much more interesting to me, just like exploring like just all these different creatures and what they were and all that kind of thing. I watched Samurai Jack and stuff like that. Like, I liked cartoons like that every now and then. Like, I liked cartoons with a bit more drama, but like I never liked the kind of like really simple kids cartoons for whatever reason. It was always kind of like Blue Planet was my thing that I absolutely loved. There's this one episode that I absolutely adored, which was where because even with my fear of open water, I still find it fascinating. It's strange, like all the stuff that I'm scared of, I also find really, really fascinating. Like spiders, whenever I see a spider like in an enclosed space, I always like find it so fascinating to watch and like see what it's doing, just because I think it's so interesting. But like in Blue Planet, there's this one episode where they like took like a submarine or like a submersible and just like went like down through like the different levels of the ocean, like first at the top and then kind of went to deeper and deeper and deeper, and like they just like had all this like they just showed like all the different levels and the different kinds of life at the different like pressure levels in the ocean. It's so interesting. Like, I always like loved seeing like all these weird creatures that they were like aliens like living out on the ocean, like these tiny little things. There was this like anglerfish in particular were ones that always kind of interested me, just because their use of bioluminescence, which is like when bacteria, like it's kind of like intentionally allowing bacteria to grow in a like lure thing or like a certain appendage, because like then the bacteria, like that kind of bacteria, create light. So like they can use that to like lure in other fish by like having these bacteria like creating like little light bursts and stuff like that. It's very, very interesting how they use that, and like how like there are certain fish that like can't see red light. A lot of fish down at that level, because red light doesn't penetrate that far down, they can't see red light. So fish that actually can see red light, like they have a natural advantage. So there are some that can actually emit red light, like a small glowing red light, and they can use that to hunt like little copepods and things like that. And it's very, very interesting. Like certain creatures that are colored red or whatever. It's just like, I found it so fascinating, just like going down into this completely different world, because like you always forget, like Ireland is tiny. Ireland is so small, but it's the entire world right now for me and or for whoever's living here at the moment. Even Dublin, just the county is like, it's so much bigger than like I could possibly like grasp off the top of my head. But the thing is, you extend that to the entire country, and then you extend that to like a continent that is like twice the size. I mean, fucking like Ireland is smaller than most states in America, so like in the US. So it's just like, it's crazy to think about the order of magnitude, like how big that is. But then when you take that, then you extend that to like the ocean, that like how much bigger the ocean is than the landmass. And you just got like this absolute vast space for life to exist and progress. And like, you've got all this like fantastic ecosystems that are set up completely separate from us. It's just so interesting how no matter how important bills and college work and going to the gym and getting to that date on time are, like, no matter how important that is to you right now, like, when you think about it, I mean, just the orders of magnitude, like, how separate that is from, like, just the progression of life itself, where, like in the, like, no matter how stressed I am about my exams, there's no way that that'll ever affect a single fish in the ocean. But that's such a huge amount of the life that's on Earth. Like, that just like how there's such a like contrast between like how important this is to me and just how unimportant it is in the grand scheme of like the actual way that the world runs and the way that like you know life actually continues. It's fascinating. Like, I mean, it's just like, I always loved that as a kid, just seeing like something that was completely devoid of like the like human life stuff. Like, it was just all these things that are happening out there. So like when I was a kid, like my mother used to, like whenever it was my birthday or Christmas or whatever, I'd always get like a new David Attenborough DVD because like they knew that was the stuff that I really loved. That and like certain, like I actually really liked certain history documentaries. Like I was really into ancient Egypt when I was a kid. I actually did my like here in Ireland, like for your final exams, you like when you study history, you have to do like a special project, like a research project on like a specific topic in history. And like and I did mine on the first campaign of Pharaoh Thutmose III. Just because like I always loved ancient Egypt, like I always found it so fascinating. I mean, it was you know, just because like when I was in school, we had an ancient Egyptology club and stuff like that. And like there was this one of the kids, like his mother was like wasn't an Egyptologist herself, but she was very fascinated with the history of ancient Egyptology, so she would teach the kids. But like she was also connected to like so many other people. Like there was like one. Dr. Salima Ikram is like, she spoke at our school a few times, and she's like a prominent archaeologist and Egyptologist. And it was actually for my project, like I actually had a little bit of correspondence with her, like emailing her, going like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but once you were giving a presentation in like São Lourenço school in Portugal, and like I was the guy that pretended to be a cat, and like while you were like showing what like how mummification would go. She obviously didn't remember me, but she was like, oh yes, of course, I remember that. You were a particularly good cat. And I was like, okay. But like, you know, I was like asking for advice on like what I should study in different areas and all that kind of thing. And it was just like, it was really nice to like in the history project to be able to like delve into stuff that I was personally interested in. But anyway, telling you about Thutmose III, he was kind of raised, like his mother took power. Like she was, his mother was the first queen of Egypt, basically. Like she'd actually been holding power from him because when her husband died, she actually took the throne, whereas usually it would pass to the pharaoh's son. She actually went, nah, you know what, I can do this. And she was like, she actually ran the country very, very well. She was very, like her policies were a lot more insular, like she's a lot more like domestic policies instead of like foreign policy. But I think it was good because like her, like the previous pharaoh, her husband had messed up a lot of stuff, and kind of, so it was good that like she was there to fix things. What was her name? It was something beginning with an H, Hera something, okay, anyway, it was something beginning with an H, the first queen of pharaoh of Egypt. And her son Thutmose III, he actually didn't take power until he was quite old, or quite old by Egypt, like ancient Egyptian standards, in terms of like taking power as a pharaoh. Like most people are like children when they ascend to the throne, but like he had spent like his early teens like practicing war games and learning about how to run the country and all that kind of thing. Like you know, like just learning how to be a military general first and foremost. So like once his mother died, like there were all these princes, like all these Assyrian and Syrian princes who like revolted, and so he immediately like gathered like a huge army and just marched east to go and deal with them. And it was so interesting how like he just like his battle tactics were completely different, and well, they weren't completely different, but like it was just like it was a unification and kind of a lot more like strongly focused military movement that kind of just swept through the Middle East, where like and managed to take back a lot of land that had been lost from Egypt. But anyway, yeah. Okay. So there you